This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. This program can be re-listened to on my website, and the website can be has a lot of information that can be of help to you. You might want to look at it. There's some testimonies, there's some questions and answers, and there's a weekly meditation there, and you can contact me through the website as well as by regular mail. Now, today we're going to look at a woman by the name of Martha, and as we've been looking at Lazarus and Mary, usually there's three in the Trinity that we look at, and they're Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They apparently had a home in the town of Bethany where the Lord was welcome. And when we read down through the stories, we always find out that it was Martha that seemed to own that home. She welcomed them, welcomed the Lord into that home. We don't actually read about Mary's or Martha's husband, at least directly, but we probably do read about him because we believe, or at least I believe, he was host at some of the meals and he had the name Simon, sometimes called Simon the Pharisee, and I think sometimes called Simon the leper, but other commentaries disagree with me on that. But I personally believe she did have a husband, and he was one of the Simons. And when I say one of the Simons, I'm kind of convinced that Simon went by different names, so he could have been just one person. But nevertheless, she was very hospitable, and I want to read about her today because I think she's a lesson to all of us. I want to read from Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, which says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving." And notice that statement. Martha was distracted. Distracted from what? Distracted from enjoying the presence of the Lord. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore," and Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." We trust the Lord blesses to us the reading of his word. Our lesson for today is that it is important for us to be industrious. It's important for us to carry responsibility. But we don't want to let the unneeded problems of this age take the place of devotion to the Lord. Martha was preparing a meal, and if she's like my wife, she likely was preparing a meal for guests. And she wasn't using chinette, she was using china. She was making sure that there was a tablecloth, and she was probably making sure that the table had a very pleasant appearance, because she had a guest that she wanted to honor. But the problem was, in doing what we think is honorable, she had neglected the thing that was most important, and that was being able to spend some time with the Lord. And I think what the Lord is saying is that if they'd had a fireplace and had roasted some hot dogs and had potato chips, it would have been fine with him, because then he could have sat and enjoyed her presence. And I think sometimes we are so involved with our service, well-meaningly involved. Those of us who are saved are well-meaningly involved with our service, and we're so involved with our service that we forget that the Lord really wants devotion. He wants time spent with him. He wants us to get to know him. He wants us to hear his word. He wants our presence, and that's what Mary was giving to him. And so in the Bible, we know that industry is important. We're told that one of the seven deadly sins is sloth, and that means idleness. But Mary, the devoted one, was not idle. She was sitting at the Lord's feet, and she was, of course, hearing him talk. She was enjoying his presence, and she was learning from him. And Martha's service was distracting from all of that. And as we look through the Bible, it seems like Mary is the devoted one. She's the one who anointed the Lord's feet in preparation for his burial. And it wasn't that she was slothful, because as we pointed out, in order for her to anoint the Lord with that ointment, she had saved up about a year's worth of anointment. When I say a year's worth, a year's salary's worth of anointment. She had ointment worth about 300 pence, and that would have been about 300 days' wages. And so she had obviously not been slothful. But when the Lord was around, she didn't spend her time on trying to impress him and serve him. She tried to spend her time listening to him and enjoying his presence. I think it would be much like two young people who fall in love. And when they first fall in love, you know, we understand that there's a period of time when everybody's trying to impress each other, but pretty soon they just want to be together. They want to talk. They want to learn about each other. And really, that's what the Lord wants from us. That's what I believe true worship is all about. But that doesn't mean that the Lord didn't love Martha. He wasn't giving her a secondary place. If we were to go down to John 11, when we read about the story of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, we find out then John chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Now this is the word for charity, the same word that we have in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And it's the word that means that he's trying to do what is best for the person, show charity to the person, but it's a devotional love. And he loved her, and I believe he loved Martha every bit as much as he loved Lazarus and every bit as much as he loved Mary. But Mary was the one that I suppose the world would criticize for not getting busy, and Martha was the one who took responsibility, apparently had responsibility for this home, and she's the one who was distracted when it came to actually enjoying the presence of the Lord who was in her home. And I think sometimes we do that same thing when we have guests in our home that we really want to get to know. Sometimes we spend so much time on entertaining them that we don't have much time for enjoying them. And that was what was happening with Martha. And I know that even when my wife has entertained, sometimes she's complained that the time she spends getting ready for guests and laying out the meal and so forth keeps her from actually enjoying the guests. And of course, when the kids were home, she tried to have the kids help her. And of course, she tried to get her husband to help her some, but her husband was very poor help because her husband had the responsibility, which was me, of course, felt he had the responsibility of trying to keep the guests at ease and entertained and enjoying things while she was getting things ready. But the service keeps us from enjoying the actual presence of the people that we're trying to entertain. And when it's the Lord, we want to enjoy his presence. And I'm guilty because even in my own life, I feel all the time like I should be doing something profitable. I should be either out distributing tracts, or I should be holding meetings, or I should be writing meditations, or I should be making radio programs. And sometimes it's hard for me to get it through my head that the Lord doesn't want me doing all the time. Sometimes he wants me to relax and just listen to him, spend some time in prayer, in devotional prayer, not necessarily in the kind of prayer where we're asking for miracles, but in the kind of prayer where we're just communing with him, even over the Word of God, which we may be reading at the time, and just rejoicing if, as we read the Word of God, all of a sudden we understand something we never understood before, and that makes us enjoy the Lord more. And I will tell you that in doing this little study on Martha, I came across some truth that I didn't really understand before, because we read about Martha in the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and we find out that in that story, when the Lord came back to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was, that as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, we read this in John 11 and verse 20, as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Mary's the devotional one, the one with that really had enjoyed his presence. And yet, I may be wrong on this, but it appears to me that Mary stayed in the house and didn't go out to meet the Lord. I think she was pouting. I think she was offended that the Lord didn't care enough to come immediately when they had called for him, or that the Lord, in his ability to know all things in his omniscience, hadn't come before her brother had died. But anyway, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She knew that, and that charge was made by Martha, that charge was made by Mary, and that charge was made by the Jews. But Jesus said to her, Martha says, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." What did she mean by that? Whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now her brother's dead, and her desire is that he be raised from the dead. I think that Martha really had confidence that the Lord could raise him from the dead. Now, the story doesn't sound that way as you go on and find out that Martha tells the Lord that he's been dead 4 days and that he stinks when he goes to open the tomb. But Martha had expected a miracle from the Lord even after Lazarus died. "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." She was a true believer, and Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And so what I'm getting at is, in some ways, she had more faith than her sister, who had the devotion that she had. And the Lord loved them equally. But there's abilities to take in truth, abilities to trust in the Lord in certain ways. Each of us have those certain ways that are different from others. And so then she says, "Now I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And I think she's not making a statement so much as saying, "Is that what you're talking about?" And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And so that's going to be the case with Lazarus, but it's going to be the case with all of us who are saved. Though we may die, we will live, because we're going to be raised from the dead. And because once we are saved, we have eternal life. And even after we die, the body may be dead, but the soul and the spirit lives on. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is, we can look forward to being an eternal being that will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." She believed that he could do what he said he could do, and she may not have fully understood the promise, but she understood who the Lord was, and she trusted him. And as a result, we'll meet Martha in heaven. And we trust that you, as a listener, have the same confidence in the Lord that she had, because that's the only thing that will prepare us for that eternal life where we will never die. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing on the program. We pray for thy blessing on those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.